My guests today are Luen and Min Mong. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Good, David.
How's it going?
Great. Are you guys related to each other? Because you kind of look alike.
Yeah, that's
no,
what
we're just
say.
Clones. Of
you're
each
just
other.
Clones. You're brother. You guys are brothers. I'm just joking.
Yes.
What do you guys do?
I'm an independent software developer and a consultant.
Uh-huh.
So I am all over the place.
Yeah.
I write software on pretty much anything that I can write software on.
Yeah.
Zeros.
All right.
All the way from Microsoft.
That was Glenn, by the way.
Yeah.
And what do you do?
I'm a senior software engineer for a consulting company called Skyline Technologies.
Mm-hmm.
I do everything from web all the way to mobile, do databases. So.
And you said you were doing some stuff with microcontrollers. You've
yes.
been doing that recently.
Yes. We've been doing that for probably about a good 4 or 5 years now.
Is that for fun or is that for your day job?
A bit of both.
Yeah, a bit of both.
Okay, well, tell me about it. What's a microcontroller? What is a microcontroller, first of all?
Well, a microcontroller is a small, typically the way I would put it is a single-use, single-purpose chip that is made for doing one specific task.
Hmm.
So, for example, right, computers have a bunch of different CPU, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Can do multiple different things. Microcontrollers are made with a single small set of CPU that usually is clocked somewhere between 4 to whatever megahertz,
okay.
typically in megahertz range, and a very small amount of RAM. But it can do very, very good things, right?
Yeah. We normally, the processing power that we normally work with is between 4 megahertz and 115 megahertz,
mm-hmm.
and we don't normally go above that.
Okay, that's the speed of
the clock speed of the processor. So if we're looking at an i5, it's single core versus an i5, with multiple cores and multiple gigahertz. So
it's not nearly as powerful as the processor inside of this computer, or even in the one on my phone.
Correct.
No, it's just a fraction of it.
Okay.
But
what's the point of having such a slow by comparison
yeah.
a less powerful computer?
The greatest benefit is the boot up time is great. So you don't have to wait for the whole operating system to boot up. There is a little bit of a fraction of a second boot up time,
mm-hmm.
but it's much better than a whole OS booting up from cold boot.
In terms of major benefits for a microcontroller would be the power consumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are actually using a lot less cores, a lot less brain power, etc.
Okay.
I can actually have a Atmega, Arduino type of microcontroller that I can plug in with a 9-volt battery that will last for days and months, if needs be.
Give me an example of some of the things that you're building with an Arduino, for example.
Arduino. As a prototype, I built a rope jumping system for a client a while ago.
What system?
So it's a rope jumping.
Rope
right?
jumping.
Rope jumper.
Okay.
So it actually, every time you jump a rope, it actually syncs up with the Bluetooth via a device to the music that we're playing. So it was, it's a gaming system.
Okay.
However, right, it's fun in a sense that that particular battery, that you put into the lithium battery that we put into the handle of the rope that lasts for weeks, right?
Oh, okay.
Another time, I actually was consulting with a medical company where we actually were trying to use a BDLE system on a Bluetooth
low energy
system that's tied to a tiny little microcontroller that is transmitting data of patient information. That lasts for 15 days on a single use type of scenarios. So you can actually go a lot of very low power but consistent data coming out of it.
Interesting.
And I've worked with projects such as for one of the offices that I'm actually at right now. We have a big coffee cup, but like we have right outside today.
Okay.
It's a big tall coffee flask, and we have a bunch of little weight sensor, pressure sensors. To see how full it is.
Okay.
And then as it gets lower, we can say, hey, it's, we can sense.
Time to make
and
more
just,
coffee.
It would send it to a Slack bot, and then it would just send it to the whole channel if needed and stuff like
so
that.
So like people get a message saying, go make some coffee?
Right.
Oh.
Or it's like, you take the coffee pot
at
away.
Last, something
like,
that's a piece of software that serves humanity.
Exactly.
Yes.
Perfect for us, right?
Yeah.
You take the coffee pot away, it will just say, after, let's just say, 2 minutes, it will say, somebody walk off with the coffee pot, bring it back.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can do some really, really cool, interesting stuff. For example, Space Shuttle, right, was running on a 16 megahertz processor with, four megs of RAM for the longest time until in the 1980s. It actually took congressional power to double the RAM to, 8 megs of RAM.
Wow.
So you can do a lot of cool things with it, right?
Right. And how much does a cheapest Arduino processing power and memory run right now?
Arduino, I can actually get it at Megachip on bulk because I actually design my own chips and whatnot as well. So I can get it on bulk for about 95 cents a piece.
Wow.
So you can do a lot of good stuff with it.
Tell me about the process of programming these things. Are you, there's obviously no room for a monitor on this. So you're going through a computer to program them, right?
Yes. We are going through, pretty much we're reading through a serial com to debug anything.
Okay.
So it's writing serial code back, and then we're doing a serial monitorization on this.
What's the code written in?
It's written in a derivative of C.
Depends, right?
It's called processing. On Arduino, it's called processing, and you write it in, it's a derivative of C, and it has its own compiler.
Well, I mean, nowadays you can actually even write Arduino code on through Visual Studio 2 now, so that's good, right? It's all there. However, I mean, you know, every single microcontroller will have their own type of writing code, but most of them are actually go back down to C or lower level.
Some of them have proprietary languages
that they write to. Yeah. Yes.
Well, as hard as C can be, at least for me, because I don't have experience in it, I would think it'd be even harder to learn a separate language just to program this one device.
It's not that hard. The harder thing is for, you know, regular developers like us, right, that actually write full-blown
high-level apps,
that we have to abandon some of the ideas that we have,
a web client, for example.
Yeah.
So
patterns and practices, right? A lot of those need to go out of the window because you know, for example, when you're looking at an Arduino chip.
I mean, because those aren't efficient enough with the resources on the chip. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. Because you don't. So let's take back in the days we use .NET Micro frameworks, Netuinos, and on those things they didn't have. If we put too much libraries that we're using, then our code that we can write is literally down to probably like a for loop.
I see.
So you really need to strip away and come bare down to, you know, bring down your code to bare minimum and say, this is what I really want this thing to do. Does it turn on the light switch or does it, you know, send a message out to the internet if needed?
I mean, think about it this way, right? Microcontroller, the cheap ones that, you know, everybody was going to play around with.
Yeah.
Would actually have something around the lines of 16 to 32 K of memory.
Mm.
Out of that, maybe about a half a K to 1K is going to be used by the bootloader if it is there at all.
Okay.
So you're looking at, let's say, 20, you know, on the low end, right? Let's say you're looking at about 15 K of memory.
So you have to be really efficient about what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yes.
No memory leaks, no excessive data and memory.
Yeah, so you don't have time to actually go make a pretty looking, you know, classes and whatnot.
True.
Most of these are going to be straight up. I have a place for holding a particular item, memory location. Go fix it, or you know, release, drop, whatever you got to do. Yeah.
What kind of tooling do you use when you're doing development? Are you just writing in a text editor, or are you using Visual Studio, or what?
A bit of everything, right?
Right. A bit of everything. Back in the days, we did do Notepad. Which is nicer because it or Notepad++, which gives us a proper, you know, C syntax, you know, like the color coding on there, and then we'll just copy the code over to processing the compiler and compile it that way.
Is that a command line compiler that you're using?
No,
it's
actually a Java based.
It's like a Notepad type of thing, and you just compile it. So
it's a Java based compiler that compiles into a proprietary, you know, byte level code at that point, and then it actually gets flashed to the chip, and you know, it runs in at the time. It depends on the microcontrollers, of course. You know, looking at Arduino is one of them. You know, there are other things out there. You know, like ESP8266, which is another little item that we've been playing with lately, and Nucleo. You know,
the SDI company is making something called Nucleo, and all you do is you write the code in, pretty much a text file, and you just—it's all done on the web. And when you're done, when you're done with writing your code, you just say compile, and it will just give you a bin file. You just drop it onto this, you know, you plug the microcontroller in, and you just drop it onto it as if like it's a SD card.
It's basically an exit copy.
Yeah.
That's how you deploy it. Just
that's
copy
how you,
the code.
Right.
So it depends on the chip.
And then
chip
how does
itself.
It run? Do you have to call it? Do you have to run that executable?
Nope.
It just reboots after it's flashed, and it's done.
Okay, and then it is running.
And it's running in a loop, right?
So typically you'll have a loop, an infinite loop,
yes,
that's going to go on there,
yeah.
A net loop of some kind.
Yeah. Yes.
I see.
So it's kind of fun. But
how'd you guys learn this? Are you just trial and error, or are there some sites you can recommend people that are watching this that want?
There are a couple of different places. I mean, typically for hobbyists, I would definitely go to my Arduino, because that's a good place to actually get a lot of these variants out there, and it's a super cheap microcontroller you get started with.
You can get one for about $5.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of other accessories like shields that you can put on top of it, which is really nice to do.
What is a shield?
A shield is just an accessory, like, you know,
additional
component that you want to put onto it. So if you don't have if you want to put GPS capabilities, you can just get a module and you just push it in, and there's no soldering involved in it.
Oh, I see. So a shield has some capability like GPS, like GPS. Detecting temperature, like detecting light,
right?
And then it's built into the hardware, and the hardware will physically attach to your microcontroller.
Yeah, correct. Typically. Okay. On a boards like, you know, Arduino, Netduinos, any of the Duinos, for example, right? I'm sticking to that because it's a very easy thing for anybody to pick up and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Those will actually have pins that are sticking out, and you can actually drop shields on top of it, and they're usually stackable.
Oh,
so you can actually say, hey, I have 16 pins of digital input and output. Out of that, if I'm using pin 1 on the shield number 1, I can use pin 3 on a different shield, so you can actually have a stack of shields, you know, so you can actually have radio on one of them, GPS on another one, you know,
Bluetooth on another one,
yeah, SD card reader, you know, for storing data, that kind of stuff. The limitation, obviously, is that every shield that you're putting additional code on there, so you do have to figure out when my 32K is going to go run out, right? But that said, you can actually do a lot of things with it.
Yeah.
What's the coolest thing you guys have built? Microcontrollers.
The coolest thing I've done on the Arduino stack is putting web sockets on that thing and authenticating against Azure.
What? Really?
Yeah. So we were running a node server on Azure, and we had two demos before. The first one we actually did in Netduino using web sockets as well, and that worked great. And then we're like, we want to go even lighter than this. So we put it on a Arduino, and we were able to manage to do that, and that opened garage doors up and down and stuff like that.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we actually had a working prototype at home that allows us to monitor the garage door. So if I'm leaving, for example, I can use my, you know, Windows Phone, Android Phone, whatever it is. The GPS on the phone will tell me whether if I'm moving away from a particular location, so you're geo-bound. And once that, if we're moving away, obviously you can actually do a delta on your location, and then it will actually check on Azure to see whether if the state of the door of the garage door, and using the node, it actually has a consent pipe, right, that's coming back in there using WebSocket, so I can tell you whether if the door is up or down or whatever the case is.
So you could program your phone to talk to Azure and have Azure talk
back and
to
I can device. Actually say, hey, so I'm leaving, if I forget to close the door, it will close it. You know, it can do other things, like in the middle of the day, right, if somebody goes open the garage door, right, and it will actually send me a text message.
Oh, yeah. Hey, somebody's breaking into your house.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Get home.
So you can do a lot of, home automation, things with it for cheap. And you know, you can do it fairly well quickly.
That's very cool. Anything else we should have talked about that we haven't?
The latest thing that we are really working on right now is trying to get the ESP8266 chip, which is even smaller than the Arduino.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be talking about that at that conference as well, and we'll be having it on our blog sites as well.
Okay, that conference in Wisconsin Dells in August.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. So
ESP8266, for those of us that don't know what it is, it's a SoC. It's a system on a chip.
Okay.
It actually has Wi-Fi, GPIO, I2C communication.
Oh, so you don't need the shields for this?
Yeah.
No.
So it's a tiny little chip about the size of my fingernail that runs for hours, running at 80 megahertz.
And it will connect to 802.11 BGN.
Yeah.
So it's fairly fast and light. And we're trying to control different devices with it. If you go online and look for Azure IoT starter kits, there's quite a few of them out there that actually use the same chipset as well. So we're using the individual raw version of it with our existing microcontrollers to control different home automation stuff.
Yeah, for example, right, if you're looking at things like I want to control the light, individual, you know, particular switch, for example, that's on the wall, you don't need to actually, go get a Raspberry Pi to do that, right, because it's too much of a power. load, and it's just too big of a process.
Hmm.
So in this case,
so,
you can
so
put it
strange to think that a Raspberry Pi is too much power.
And way too big, right?
Okay.
So 8266 is a tiny chip about the size of, like I said, my fingernail.
Mm.
With everything else built in, with power converters, everything else, you can get it to about a size of a stamp.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, plug it into the wall socket, and that thing will transmit to your network or anywhere else you want to an endpoint. Will and it will actually tell you the status of lights and sounds or whatever you want to do, fairly lightly. And you can transmit back, the other way as well, right? So you can actually control, for example, lights, dimming things, for example, right? Because it has PWM in there. So you can actually, dim lights. You can actually, change the audio, that kind of stuff.
I mean, right now we're trying to mess with, the Cortana API as well on this and see how we just want to see what the limitations are on this as well. The biggest thing is, getting the socket communication working initially in the beginning, and after that, we are going to try to control, we're going to try to bring our old project back up, which is a robotic lawnmower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing.
Our infamous robotic lawnmower where we actually can get to ride on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what, does it drive itself?
Yeah, it will drive itself. It has GPS built in that we can actually pretty much narrow down to about an inch accuracy.
Aren't you worried about the lawnmower becoming self-aware?
We lost it once though, right? that lawnmower actually does can haul up a decent amount of payload.
Okay.
So it hauls 300 pounds of payload, and it can haul up to 30 miles an hour. So
Oh wow!
Most of the time
lawnmower coming at me at 30 miles an hour sounds a little frightening.
Yeah, it almost flew out of one of the Chicago buildings at one point because we're like, oh crap, we can't control it anymore. Run after it. Done it off.
That's how the singularity is going to start.
Yeah.
And then the other time was like, we were, even before that, it was like in the earlier infancies of it, where we're just kind of testing around with the Wi-Fi, and we just lost connection with the Bluetooth, and it just, we had to run from running it onto the streets.
It's one of those things that you got, you got to, as a developer, right, these are the things that come to mind when you're writing code as on microcontroller level. You got to know when to kill it. Kill switch is a giant important part of it.
You need a safe word for your lawnmower.
Right.
So you've got to say that here. I lost connection.
You're working with IoT. You've got to figure out, it's almost like working with mobile. It's like, what happens if there's no internet connection or anything like that?
Okay.
How do you control this thing at that point, considering that it's completely headless, right?
Yeah. Very cool. Did I ask you this? Where should people go to get started?
I believe you did, but most of the resources, I would actually say go to Arduino.cc. This is their main website,
right.
And there are a bunch of demos and information on there, as well as Microsoft also have a bunch of information on their Azure startup kits and whatnot
for
IoT. IoT startup kits as well. It's a lot of information on there as well. So those are the two resources. We can actually give you a link and you can post
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Min,
thank you.
Dwayne, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any one of you guys can reach out to either of us. We're pretty much on Twitter, and you can find all information on our websites. We welcome friends.
And, any form of technology that comes along with it, whether if it is, on a small device or a big device, it doesn't matter.
We love working with technology, anything that comes along.
All right, and let's meet new friends.
Yep.
Thank you.